information, please call the Workforce Discipleship Office at 772-207-6925. Again, 772-207-6925. Our staff is waiting to assist you or someone you know.
Welcome to the Keeping It Real Estate Show. This is a live call-in show, and I'm your host, Luke Lewis, along with my co-host, Tiffany Young, where we dive into everything real estate, from buying and selling to making smart investments. Our mission? To educate and keep you informed on the latest happenings in your local market. We're glad to have you with us. Let's get started. Welcome to Keeping It Real Estate, the show where we break down everything you need to know about real estate without all the jargon, the stress, and all the overpriced coffee. I'm your host, Luke Lewis.
And I'm Tiffany Young, and I love some overpriced coffee.
She does.
Americano me.
She does. She drinks hot black coffee, whether it's cold or whether
black.
It's hot outside. And I think she likes the overpriced coffee because I pay most times.
So okay.
I finally figured that part out.
Okay. Well, today we're diving into one of the hottest debates among millennials, and that is home ownership still a realistic dream, or are many destined to rent forever?
That's a good one. With house prices going up, skyrocketing, student loans hanging over the heads of millennials, this is like having an unwanted house guest and you just bought a $5,000 mattress, like, and just never goes away.
You invited them to stay.
Well, yeah, should have bought a cheap mattress. So the question comes down, can you actually afford to buy a home?
Right. Well, we're going to break it all down. We're going to talk about affordability, saving strategies, and whether renting is really throwing away money or actually a smarter move right now. Plus, we've got a guest on the show, so stick around.
A really special guest tonight. Yeah. So, but before we get started, let me tell you a little bit about who we are. We are Treasure Coast Realty Group, and we're located in Fort Pierce right here on the Treasure Coast. And the reason we decided to do a radio show is we've got a lot of clients that come into our office from time to time, and we found that their real estate knowledge is either non-existent or they've been misinformed about things. So we thought it'd be a great idea to find a avenue to be able to speak to the masses at one time, and that led us to here. And by the way, I like to also mention that this is also a live call-in show. So if you'd like to call in and have some discussion or chop it up with us a little bit on some of the content we're covering tonight, that number is 772-221-1100. And again, that number is 772-221-1100. And before I get into our show, I'd just like to give a shout out to Ms. Verna Woods, one of our listeners, who's on the show every evening that we're here listening to our show. And we'd like just say thank you for being one of our active listeners. So let's get into our guest today. Without any further ado, I'd like to introduce someone very special, and she's made call-ins from time to time on the show, had great questions, so great to the point that we thought it'd be a good idea to bring her in. And let's talk face-to-face about it. Jessica, hello, how are you?
I'm good, thanks for having me.
Good, thank you so much. Why don't you tell us and our active listeners a little bit about yourself?
So I've known you for a long time.
A long time.
I have been a homeowner for a while now, but I work with a lot of people that are in the market, and it's kind of interesting to see what they're going through as they are purchasing new homes and as they're looking and kind of making that decision on what their next step should be.
Yeah. So Jessica's listeners is a millennial, and we wanted to have her on the show because, you know, as we talk about different times and stages of life, there's always an audience that has a different perspective on real estate from other
Absolutely.
So we're bringing, you know, we want to make sure as we do these shows that we leave no stones unturned. And today we're going to touch home ownership from a millennial perspective. So let me ask you a question. Have millennials given up on the American dream of owning a home?
I don't know that it's been given up on, but it's definitely looked at a little bit differently now. It's not seen as something that's easily achievable as it was before. So there's definitely some hesitation, but I think now with the cost of everything going up, not just home prices, but rent in general, people are really thinking about what should I do? Is it worth renting? Is it worth buying?
Wow.
Yeah, you know, there's no surprise there because over the last decade, home prices in the U.S. have risen over 40%, you know, and meanwhile, wages have not really kept up to that demand. So it's unbalanced, and it's a reason that a lot of people just can't realize the dream of owning a home.
Yeah, don't even get me started on down payments. I mean, that's another whole animal. You know, traditionally, they say you like to try to do 20% down when you're purchasing a home. Mm-hmm. But with the average home price in this area at $400,000, and I'm being very moderate, you know, 20% of $400,000 is roughly $80,000, not using a calculator. And the FHA loans allow you to do 3.5% down. So same house, $400,000 at 3.5% down, that's still $14,000. That's not to mention your closing costs, your moving expenses, and not to mention furnishes. You know, you want to have shades or something on the wall. So, you know, I've seen a lot of houses that don't, but, you know, you just want to have it on. I bet as we talk about these numbers, you probably have a lot of friends that have $80,000 just hanging around in a bank account, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Just sitting there waiting.
And along with that, let's talk about the barriers that makes it even harder for millennials to buy sooner. You know, tell us about, you know, something that you and your peers talk about when it comes to barriers to home purchasing, you know?
And not over high-priced coffee. We want to talk about those moderate conversations.
Well, I think right now the biggest piece that they're running into is saving, right? Mm-hmm. The amount that they would be spending on a mortgage, they're spending equal that on rent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to save up that down payment when you're spending the money every month.
Yeah.
And then not just rent, but just cost of living in general.
Yeah.
Everything is up so high that... Yeah. You could save a little extra each month, but even cutting out general expenses, it's still hard to build up that down payment. And then not only the cost of houses, but the market being so competitive.
Right.
So you find a place, you put in an offer and there's 10 other offers. So that's the biggest issue that people are running into right now. And then millennials aren't that handy, in case you guys didn't know. So, fixer-uppers.
Hold on. Move in ready.
Listen, YouTube, how to do this.
YouTube you.
I have a lot of YouTube certificates, but fixer-uppers aren't, you know, at the top of people's list anymore.
Right, for
sure. And that used to be an option to make that dream a little more achievable.
Yeah, definitely. What about student loan debt? You know, a lot of, you know, millennials, people in general, are carrying tens of thousands of dollars in loan, and that makes it also tough to save or even qualify for a mortgage. Mm-hmm. Have you heard anything along those lines about, you know, student loans being one of the things that are in the way?
Yes, I mean, that definitely has an impact. You know, the impression is that you need that degree to get the job to afford the thing, but then the degree cost extra.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's one of those vicious cycles that people do find it hard to overcome that.
Yeah, and you talked about, you know, things being more expensive and, you know, inflation, you know, so like you said, rent's higher, groceries are higher, healthcare is higher, you know, there's definitely less room to budget for long-term savings when you have to consider all of that.
I mean, grocery is one of those items that have really taken, like, almost has moved to the number one spot in the house, you know.
Eggs.
What are eggs? I haven't had an egg in like 7 months. What are eggs?
I watched something on TikTok about someone like bartering eggs. Like, so funny.
There was this thing where someone said, "Hey, you got the eggs?
Yeah.
The eggs." They pulled up in the corner and they pulled out a bag.
Do they take those for down payments?
that's a real interesting. So when you're thinking of like trying to decide what is the right house, like, what does it come down to, like your laundry list of things, if you had to make a decision on what you would do or buy or have, like, what do you start eliminating in your laundry list Because now with houses becoming so expensive.
And the supply is low, right?
Right.
So that's another thing.
Some cases you have to take something.
The starter homes especially. In this area, starter homes are ridiculously priced, you know?
Yeah. Starter homes. Wow. Mm-hmm. Starter home is $400,000.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, so, there simply aren't enough affordable starter homes in this market. You know, competition is fierce and you're up against investors and cash buyers.
Yeah.
So that's something that, you know, when you're making your laundry list, that's something that I'm sure that you consider, okay, we're up against someone. Maybe we do have to move into a smaller, less desirable neighborhood, or maybe move out of the area and commute to work an hour. Mm. So there's that.
Are you hearing concerns from some of your peers of sacrifices that they are saying they're willing to make or had to make or making in order to get into a home ownership?
So I think everybody goes into it with a big idea of what they want, mm-hmm. right? Like, I want this house. It's going to be my forever home.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start shopping and realize that, okay, I can't afford that forever home. Yeah, all right, let me see if I can find a smaller house.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes a step further and it says, okay, well, I can't afford a house. Let me look at a townhouse or a condo.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, the peers that I work with have recently, their purchases have been condos or townhouses.
Wow.
Especially in this market with all of the high, the assessments and all of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have to really think, okay, this is what I can afford. I'll just cross that bridge when I get there, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think assessments too with taxes and insurance is something that people don't think about.
Right.
They're looking at, okay, this house is $400,000. I can do $400,000.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh wait, the taxes are $7,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, let's take a step back.
Yeah.
So that's something even when we were home shopping, we bought our house.
Mm-hmm. Did you buy in the height of the market?
We bought 10 years ago.
Okay.
So we were good. We did a program, super low interest rate. So we're in 2015.
Okay.
But even then shopping, we were really shocked by taxes.
What was your home buying experience like? Was it, did you see a lot of homes or were you pretty?
Even then we've seen so many houses and then you put in so many offers and the emotional toll of, yes, we got one that we love and we got an offer in. Oh, this is a solid offer. Mm-hmm. Oh, somebody outbid us. Or, oh, there was a cash offer. That's a big thing now, too. Yeah.
It's hard to compete against it.
And that was 10 years ago. So I can't even imagine trying to go through that now.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
It's definitely a roller coaster.
So did that deter you at the time? Did you ever think, okay, maybe we should hit the pause button and continue renting? Or was it something that you were like, okay, we're in the best position right now. Even if we don't get what we want, let's do it.
We actually did a program that helped us with down payment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we were kind of in that, like, we need to find something.
Mm-hmm.
But I gave up. Like, I didn't even see our house before we bought it.
Really?
My husband went and seen it with my father-in-law.
So what was the fear? That it was going to be another one that you missed out on?
It was just another.
You were tired of the rejection or the letdowns.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know what, whatever, go look at it. If you like it, let's put in an offer. Won't get accepted anyway.
Oh my gosh.
It got accepted, so I'm like, well, maybe I was the curse. it worked out well. It worked out great. We love our home now.
Right.
But it's very stressful.
Yeah.
And doing it now, people trying to do it alone.
Oh yeah.
Oh, how do you
one income?
Do that?
Yeah,
do
one
it?
Income.
The one income.
Yeah.
I just couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
Like. Ugh.
Yeah. And, you know, with, like you said, you didn't really hit the pause button, but why do you think that so many millennials are saying, okay, we're going to hit the pause button on renting, on buying and continue to rent? Do you think that that's a bad thing?
I think it depends, right? It depends on where you're at, what you're trying to do. What kind of house are you looking for? If you aren't willing to knock some of those things off of your must-have list and you need to take a step back. I mean, maybe that is right.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side of that, too, is house prices don't go down.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Like, even if you can't find something that you love right now, it might be worth the investment to, you know, to take that step forward.
Yeah.
But I think not only that piece, but when they actually get into the market and try shopping and and see what's actually out there, how, you know, how much competition there is and what's actually required to do that, I think that is, you know, probably what drives people to say, okay, hold on, let me regroup and try to wait for a better time. Not that we can see the future, but.
Such wisdom. I mean, your wisdom is unbelievable.
Because renting isn't really throwing away money per se. Sometimes you just have to, you know, fall back and punt? How do you say that? What's the...
Well, you're close.
Okay.
Not bad for somebody who drinks Americano coffee in the middle of the summer. But before we move any further along, let's just go back to the numbers one more time. Listeners, you're joining us today. We have a guest on with us. Jessica's here, and we're talking about home ownership from a millennial's perspective. And if you'd like to have any conversation or like to get in on this call and say what you're thinking, what's on your mind, give us a call at 772-221-1100. Again, that number is 772-221-1100.
You know?
So let's just settle this. Is renting just throwing money away, or better yet, what are you hearing from your friends on whether they should just continue to rent? I mean, from a peer perspective, or
and,
buy.
And is there peer pressure for someone to purchase, you know?
Are they feeling pressed?
Yeah.
They got to do it now, or what are they thinking? What are you hearing?
So I think there is pressure from people that own homes.
Right.
For people that are on the younger side of our generation, like, no, you need to just do it. You know, I don't know that renting is throwing away money, right? You need a
housing
home.
Right.
If you have an opportunity to stay somewhere, you know, fine. You know, there are a few people that say, I'm going to move back home until I can save up. And they're taking that approach, which is, I feel like that kind of died off a little bit. And I think that people are kind of going back to that.
Yes.
Like, you know what, let me move back home, see if I can save for that instead of throwing away money for rent. But it depends, too, on where you're at.
Right.
We're seeing a lot of that, too, in the housing market. Multi-generational homes that are being built by developers, where there are small quadrants or sections of the home that's made for one generation, and then the remainder or the rest of the home, the other generation of the family lives. So we're seeing a lot of that, believe it or not, because it's coming, it's just becoming so
unaffordable
and challenging to get out there on your own and do something.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, and also, you know, I wanted to get back on the, you know, rental aspect. You know, of course, there's the flexibility, like millennials, you know, a lot of them don't really know where they want to settle. Like maybe they're new on a job, maybe they haven't gotten married, maybe they'll meet someone that's in another state or in another area and they want to move. And sometimes, you know, having to sell a home in certain markets isn't as, you can't do it quickly. So in a lot of cases, there's that option of, you know, not everyone wants to be tied down.
Right.
You know, they want the flexibility and, you know, they want to travel. And all of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from that perspective, it's great. But for the long term, for someone that knows that no matter what, I'll probably keep this home, you know, it's always a great option. And then another thing, consider, have you heard anyone thinking about maybe investment properties, like maybe buying a duplex and house hacking? And, you know, house hacking is where they live in one half and rent the other half. And of course, it might not be that wonderful home that they dreamed of, but it's a great way to enter the market and become an investor.
Right. And the other half pays the the mortgage, actually. So if you've got, say, your mortgage is $1,800 a month, and you're able to get $1,800 from the person who's renting the other duplex, you're living free.
Yeah, and you're building
equity.
You're
paying the mortgage, you're building equity. And you're putting money in your pocket.
When you move out, you rent it both sides out. Now you have an investment property. That's going to build generational wealth.
Yeah. Options.
So that's a great thing to consider. And we always recommend that to someone, especially when, you know, things don't look good for purchasing outright a single family home. And you know, someone that's afraid of assessments, afraid of the condo maintenance costs and all of that.
Or need some assistance in putting some money in your pocket until you get to that
point.
And
you can qualify for more knowing that half is going to be paid by a tenant, then now you can qualify for a larger mortgage.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to start thinking about doing investments that take care of where you live as well, because let's face it, if you don't have any backup, by having an investment property of someone or somehow or something to help you assist, you know, your payments, then it's going to be a tough road ahead if something goes wrong and you're in a house and there's no other means of income, especially going back to what you mentioned earlier about someone who's trying to do it or having to do it alone, right? That takes a lot of stress and a lot of pressure off of the person.
What about navigating the market? Like, where do you guys get your information from about the housing market? Is it mostly on the news, or is it peer-to-peer conversation? Or, you know, where do you source your information on the real estate market, that is?
Algorithms or what? What are you doing?
Let's Zillow. Hear
about it. Oh, good. Zillow. Everyone's really? On Zillow. Wow. Huh.
Yeah, everyone's going to Zillow. Or they have a friend that is a real estate agent.
Right.
And it's kind of peer source.
Yes. Do you guys feel that you're getting accurate information or accurate, you know, good advice?
And how do you vet that information? Because it's curious to hear you say that. There's so many sources.
I think people do think that it's valid, but I don't know that they're getting all of the available information. Like, I think finding a source is probably not as easy, right? Everyone either goes to realtor.com or to Zillow.com, but that's just showing you the home and the price. It's not showing you all of the other pieces or other opportunities.
Like, is now a good time to buy, or?
Right.
Yeah.
It's just price driven.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't give people information either about, you know, assistance that are available.
Yes.
I was listening in on a call. You had somebody on that was talking about, like, down payment assistance and all the programs that are available.
Yes.
And I think the impression is that everything's income based. And that's not actually the situation. I was talking with some of my peers this morning preparing for today.
I was preparing.
And
I can see this next week. Hi, I'm Jessica. And welcome to Keep It Real Estate.
I'm like, did you guys know that there are down payment assistance? And they're like, oh, but I don't qualify.
Right.
And I'm like, but it's not income based.
Yes.
They're so incorrect. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, it's not income based. And they're like, nope, it doesn't matter. It's too hard to get it. I'm not even going to look for them.
Yeah.
So, that's so true. I think making that information more available, or maybe having a source or somewhere that is more well known would be really beneficial, because people don't know about those things.
But before we move on to the next topic, I'm just curious, how do we like turn the tide to make sure that people are getting sources in their hands that's giving accurate information? I mean, kind of give us some lead, like, where would millennials source, like, who's
everyone's
the
looking
person?
Online.
Yeah.
TikTok is the teacher right now, you know? So
And there's so much misinformation out there.
Social media leads the way. So, I mean, people go where they
imagine
feel
people
comfortable.
Missing out. I mean, they're just missing out.
Well, I mean, I wanted to really hit on talking about how, you know, the ability for millennials to save. We mentioned it where we talked about, you know, price of living, inflation, they're paying rent and all of that. But, you know, there's this old joke, like, if millennials would just give up buying avocado toast, you know, they can, you know, afford a house, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That $14 piece of toast is generally what's keeping people from home ownership.
Well, you know.
It's good, though.
You know, student loans doesn't have anything to do with it, right?
So do you think having or maintaining a social life play a major role in saving for a home?
Of course. I mean, you're going out, you're doing things, you're enjoying friends. And being social looks different now than it did 15, 20 years ago.
Tell me about that briefly.
You know, now it's not, oh, let's go hang out and have a barbecue. Now it's, oh, let's go out to the new restaurant that's down the street and, you know, let's go enjoy this new place that's going to cost us money, right? There are a ton of things to do.
And so many vacation trips, vacations together.
I just planned my next vacation while I was on vacation. So, yeah.
This is the part that you're supposed to be trying to talk people into saving, Jessica.
I already bought my house. Okay.
Wow.
You know?
Okay, folks. Karen, is there a way to back that up?
You know, nice job, with Jessica. That being said, do you feel that some people are now more pressured to stay on a job that they really don't want to be on because they want to be able to, yes, have that social life and maybe possibly save to buy a home?
Is it important anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, is it social life or buying a home? What is the priority?
I think social life is more important right now.
Wow. Because people want to post it.
They want to post it, and they want to go out and have experiences.
Yes, experiences.
And the cost of an experience now, it adds up, but a lot of the experiences are less than it would have been a while ago, right? It's easier to just hop in a car and take a vacation. And you don't think about how much that becomes, right? Like, especially we're in Florida, right? You can get in your car and you can drive 3 hours and you're on the Gulf Coast and staying at a beachfront hotel and enjoying it. And all you think about is, oh, but it's a car ride away.
Right.
Not thinking about all the things that add up to make up that.
The gas, the tolls, et cetera, the hotel. Yeah, that's so true.
Such but a paradigm shift.
You get to post awesome pictures.
You get to post it.
Yeah. You're on the Gulf Coast and it was only a car ride away.
Yes.
So you don't think about how much of an impact that has in the long run. So, yeah, I think definitely being social is kind of a higher priority. With jobs, I think there isn't as much job loyalty as there used to be.
Okay.
I think people are a little bit, they're willing to say, I'll go find something different.
Right, right. Okay. And what about side hustles? Have you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's so many opportunities.
Yeah.
You can sign up and go Uber or go do DoorDash and make an extra little bit of money.
Yeah, Airbnb like your other bedroom in your apartment.
Yeah. If,
you know, on the down low is how it's been happening. But
wow.
You know, online businesses, you know, it's, you know, small steps add up and
they
things
do.
Like that. People can be closer to home ownership than they think if they consider, okay, if this is something I really want, I do have to sacrifice having a social life and you know, make that a priority for, let's say, 6 months to a year, and then, you know, move from there, you know.
But it's a decision that has to be made because, you know, it's so easy to change priorities, you know, at the drop of a dime. So what do you think is the number one mistake most millennials make when it comes to home buying?
Using a friend because they went and got their real estate license instead of finding someone that has experience and really knows the market.
That is bravo. Bravo.
Do you think that a lot of millennials purchase a home because they think it's the adult thing to do and it's time to adult? Or do you think they do it truly to say, I want to have an investment, I want appreciation, or something along that line?
Probably for adulting.
Yeah.
I'm adulting now. I'm going to buy a house. So.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, we are almost wrapping up.
Yeah.
So that call that's coming in, we really can't take it.
Yeah.
But
I'm sorry, but you can get on next week. We want to hear your question. This was such great content.
Yes.
That I knew it was going to go to where it went. But Jessica, having you on the show tonight has been absolutely wonderful.
Yes, thank you for coming.
Any parting words or advice?
Use a professional.
Perfect, perfect.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for tuning in.
Okay, and we want to just tell you guys that it's been great having Jessica on tonight. And please listen in again next Wednesday at 5:30 for Keeping It Real Estate, where we bring you up to date on anything that you've got or want to know about real estate.
Thanks. Good night.
Good night. Good night, Jessica.
Thank you.
I didn't know how to hang.
Praise is warfare when the enemy is coming against you. Praise is how you fight. God inhabits your praise. Just like God comes in. When praises go up, blessings come down.
Join Pastor Trevor Banks at 7:45 a.m. and p.m. Monday through Friday, right here on WCN.
I got to tell you, I'm over here visiting from over in Hudson, on the West Coast, and I'm over here visiting some people and friends and family. This is one awesome radio station. We don't have a station like this over there. Well, we got the two commercialized, but you guys,